This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Breaking news, Russian missiles landed in Poland, killing 2 people. Poland, of course, a NATO country. The United States of America obligated to defend NATO. So put everything you were thinking about talking about today on the side burner for a bit, because World War III is going to be a hoot. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is breaking news. It literally just happened about 20 minutes before I came on. I'm coming on the air with you right now, and we'll give you all the details of it. We have the Pentagon responding, saying that they have heard of the news reports, but they have not confirmed anything yet. But apparently now Ukraine is under a mass missile attack, and 2 people in Poland have been killed. Poland being a member of NATO, the United States of America, as I mentioned, having an obligation to defend NATO countries. We don't know if this was intentional or this was an accident or what. But nevertheless, this is going to be big international news, no question about it. And there's a lot of concern because people have been saying now for a few days and weeks that the United States has to do more to fight Russia. And there's a lot of people calling for the United States to get involved militarily here. I'm not one of them, but there's a lot of people who are. And this is only going to lead us closer and closer to that, which is a very terrifying proposition, no doubt about it. Tonight at 9 p.m., apparently Donald Trump will be announcing he is running for president of the United States again. That is the rumor anyway. He has not said officially what he's going to say tonight at 9 p.m., but that is what everybody's watching. And as you heard Dom report, or interestingly enough, on Fox News tonight, Sean Hannity will have former Vice President Mike Pence on tonight at 9 p.m., which means Fox most likely will not be taking Trump's announcement live. So I imagine it will be on Newsmax and probably OAN. But nevertheless, that is what's happening tonight. Meanwhile, Governor Ron DeSantis responding to some attacks on him. And it's just one of those days. It's cloudy out and it's muggy out. And I mean, not muggy, but it's cloudy and kind of chilly. And there's a definite chill in the air internationally and domestically, no doubt about it. But I'm going to keep your spirits good today, because the good news is that they just voted to impeach Larry Krasner, the House committee in Pennsylvania. So we'll go to the full House at some point very, very soon. So that's the good news, is that the district attorney of Philadelphia has been officially impeached by the committee. And there's as many as 5 Democrats who could vote to impeach and remove Larry Krasner. Hard to say, given the makeup of the legislature, because it's looking right now why Pennsylvania Democrats may be inches from controlling the state house, looking like it may be literally 101 Democrats and 100 Republicans, with 102 being needed for the majority. And so there's a couple of things to watch here in Pennsylvania, but that will clearly impact whatever happens along the way vis-a-vis Larry Krasner and the full impeachment. So that's happening as well. And then, of course, now in Arizona, they called the race yesterday for Katie Hobbs, and Carrie Lake is not accepting the results and saying that Arizonans know BS when they hear it, and saying that there's been a lot of people who have been disenfranchised from voting. And I don't know if the vote will be, the end tally will be close enough to have an automatic recall. It's looking that way. But she's alleging that people were deprived the right to vote. This, of course, as they open up the bags and psh, the ballots just pile on the desk in a way that seems to happen. But let me turn our attention to the breaking news of the day today, which is this missile strike that hit Poland. We don't know if it was accidental. We don't know if this was exactly what was supposed to happen here by Russia. We don't know if this was Russia trying to engage with NATO, or if this was just the fact that their technology is terrible and that They just kind of, you know, streamed it over into Poland, and that's what happened. But this is what the Pentagon just said literally moments ago. We have the audio for you. We'll take a listen here.
But I know you said you don't have any information on the Russian strikes. Is there any suggestion or sense that the U.S. believes this is not accurate? Are you looking into it? Can you give us just some sense of whether or not these reports are deemed believable and what, if any, calls may be happening right now?
Yeah, thanks very much, Lita. So as I mentioned, right now, we are aware of the press reporting on this. We have no information at this time to corroborate those reports, but again, are taking them seriously and looking into them. And so I will make sure that we provide you with any updates as soon as we have them.
That's all we got.
Do you have a follow-up, Lita?
Just one quick sort of unrelated follow-up to that. Do you have any estimate on the number of Russian troops that are currently in Ukraine? Is it 100,000, fewer than 100,000? Can you give us any sense of that? That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Lita. I don't have any numbers to provide from the podium here. Clearly, tens of thousands of Russian forces still on Ukrainian territory. To include Russian forces that have recently been mobilized, we've seen an increase of those forces being sent to the front lines as replacements recently, but no overall number that I'm able to provide. Thank you. All right, Idris.
Just on the calls, so is there any call with his Polish counterpart planned at this time?
I have nothing to read out at this point.
I think President Biden has said a few times that the U.S. will defend every inch of NATO territory. If these reports are true, what does that look like for the administration?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So, you know, as I mentioned, we're looking into these reports, don't have any information to corroborate them at this time. So I don't want to speculate or get into hypotheticals. When it comes to our security commitments and Article 5, we've been crystal clear that we will defend every inch of NATO territory.
We will defend every inch of NATO territory. That was Defense Department spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder who was saying that. Poland has not confirmed this. It's important to note. I'm just, you know, a lot of this stuff is coming out right now. And this is the beauty of being on in afternoons. And this is why I wanted to come back to Afternoon Drive, because of the fact that we deal with breaking news on this show. And I love that. It fires me up a lot more than anything else. I just enjoy the kind of aspect of the breaking news. So Poland has not confirmed this yet. But by all accounts right now, it appears the United States is investigating this. So the latest here from the Associated Press is that the United States is investigating reports that Russian missiles crossed into Poland, killing two. The strikes, according to a senior U.S. intelligence official, spoke on the condition of anonymity, said that two people died here. Polish leaders were holding an emergency meeting because of a crisis situation. Polish media reported that two people died Tuesday afternoon after a projectile struck an area where grain was drying in a Polish village near the border with Ukraine. On Tuesday, Russia pounded Ukraine's energy facilities with its biggest barrage of missiles yet, striking targets from east to west and causing widespread blackouts. A defiant President Zelensky shook his fist and declared, "We will survive everything." Zelensky said Russia fired at least 85 missiles, most of them at our energy infrastructure, and shut down power in most cities. "We're working. We'll restore everything. We will survive everything," the president vowed. His energy minister said the attack was the most massive bombardment of power facilities in the nearly nine-month-old Russian invasion, striking both power generation and transmission systems. Pentagon Press Secretary Air Force General Pat Ryder declined to comment. We just played that for you a short time ago. We'll obviously keep the TV on. We'll monitor for the White House press briefing. And if the Pentagon comes out and says anything, we'll see if John Kirby has anything to add to this. Asked whether he thought it might be an incident that would trigger NATO Article 5, he said, "Again, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I'm not going to speculate, but we will defend every inch of NATO." Now, experts are seeking to tamp down the alarm after the missile reports. They're saying that the missile report did not come as a surprise. Quote, given the from this is Rajan Menon, a specialist at Defense Priorities, which is a think tank that promotes restraint, said the following. Given the ferocity with which Russia has been raining down missiles across Ukraine in recent weeks, this is incident, which, while hardly inevitable, is scarcely surprising considering that Poland adjoins Ukraine. So in other words, their take on this is this was bound to happen. It's an accident. It was not Russia attacking Poland and should not then bring about a NATO response. Now, this person is a researcher at the Saltzman Institute of War and Peace Studies at Columbia University and noted that the reported area of impact is about 40 miles from the Polish border. The incident does not mean NATO Article 5, which is the mutual defense clause between members, should be automatically invoked. Rather, each member has leeway to take such actions as it deems necessary, including the use of armed force. The article does not put them on autopilot or rob them of agency. This does not mean that the Russian missile strike in Poland is in a serious incident. It is, and brings home a visceral manner how a prolonged war in Ukraine could lead to an incident which, while it may have been unintended, could nevertheless set a conflict spiral in motion. The episode underscores why it is important for the United States and Russia to keep in close contact, no matter how frayed the relationship is. And of course, students of history will no doubt call to the sinking of the Lusitania as one of those incidents that, of course, propelled the United States of America into World War One. I will also add that, you know, Biden here throughout this entire process has been sending troops to Russia, to Ukraine, I mean, as advisors in advisory capacities. And I've played you the audio from that before. We've got people on the ground there, much like we did in Vietnam, the earliest days of Vietnam, who are there to serve in an advisory capacity only, as they say, but they are on the ground in Ukraine. There are American forces on the ground in Ukraine. And some people have asked the question, which is a very good one, what happens if one of them gets blown up by Russia? What do we do then? Which is a great question, and I don't have the answer to that, but we're still worried about that. But we have American forces there. We are still providing Ukraine with a ton of money and ammunition as well. In fact, we are so far in on Ukraine that a lot of people think at this point, we're so far in, we can't get out. We just have to see it done. I'm not saying I'm one of those people, not anywhere close to that. But nevertheless, that is what a lot of people are saying today, which is that the United States of America has made such an investment here that they have to go all the way and make sure that Russia loses. But Putin is unpredictable. Putin is obviously nuts, and I think he's dangerously crazy. If the reports are true, and I don't know if they are true, but you know, there's all these reports that come out of Russia that say he may have cancer, he may be dying. There's military forces within Russia that want to take him out. Very reminiscent of the end of World War II, if you ask me, when they wanted to get rid of Hitler. And then the people like Joseph Goebbels and others who took over for him as Chancellor of Germany. And there were forces within the German military that wanted to remove them, but we're not able to. But, you know, I mean, Putin, like anybody else in this position, is probably heavily guarded with people that are going to protect his life. But there's always those reports within Russia that they are not happy with what's happening here. And they think the country is being put at risk. But this is the biggest missile barrage yet by Russia into Ukraine. So that's what's happening with that. I'll keep you posted throughout the afternoon, and we'll see what the United States of America says. The optimistic side of this is that there may just be a situation where everybody can take a deep breath and say, it was certainly not an attack on a NATO member. It was not intentional. Russia was not trying to attack Poland. But there's going to be a lot of voices that say it's inevitable that Russia has to be dealt with and stopped before NATO countries and NATO civilians are killed. More of them, because now we've lost, potentially Poland has lost two. I mean, look at it this way. If the United States of America, if Mexico was fighting a war with somebody and they launched a missile and killed two people in Texas, we'd be pretty damn fired up over it. So I imagine Poland's going to be fired up. I imagine Poland's not just going to shake their head and go, it was an accident, all good, no big deal. They didn't blow up a bunch of Jeeps. They killed two people, assumingly Polish citizens. I don't know that. It's not been confirmed. But assuming that that's the case, I would imagine they're going to be pretty ticked off about it. So maybe the Polish president is picking up the phone and calling members of NATO. This came after Boris Johnson published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying that we have to defeat Russia. We got to go all in here. The world has to go all in and stop this guy. But of course, he's a nuclear power. You know, unlike the previous two world wars, we are dealing now with nuclear weapons and a guy who has threatened to use them and has said, these are not just words here. You know, I'll use these things if I have to. And so the world is obviously very, very cautious about that. So that's what's happening right now. We'll keep you posted on that with any developments that happen. We got, of course, executive producer Matt DeSantis monitoring it. Henry's monitoring it. The TV's on in the background. Any developments that come out regarding this, you'll be the first one to know about it. So you can just keep it here this afternoon. We'll bring you breaking news. We'll bring you breaking audio. And, of course, there'll be a lot of preview about what's going to happen tonight. President Trump's announcement. It looks like that Kevin McCarthy has at least the votes of the Republican caucus to become the next Speaker of the House of Representatives. Assuming the Republicans officially win control, which I think they will, it'll be 218, which is the minimum number that they need. But a win is a win. It doesn't matter. You win, period. So he'll be Speaker most likely after what looked like to be a failed attempt by Andy Biggs and also possibly Matt Gaetz of Florida to try to stop Kevin McCarthy. But it looks like McCarthy's got the votes. Not a done deal, though. The whole House has to vote for him. But he's got the support of the caucus, at least at this point, which is the first step in that. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. So much going on today. A busy, busy afternoon. Breaking news everywhere. Do not go away on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Glad to have you with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
So the breaking news this afternoon is Russian missiles land in Poland, which is, of course, NATO member. The United States says it will defend NATO with every inch of NATO. Now, this does not appear to be an intentional strike, but nevertheless, it happened. So we're all watching to see what's going to happen. And this comes after former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson wrote a piece that I have here in my formerly borscht-stained fingers, where he says, in the Ukraine war, victory is the only option. Any compromise would be unjust, and Vladimir Putin would be sure to violate an agreement anyway. So he's one of those people calling for war. He said, Mr. Zelensky's people have suffered the most bestial bombardment in Europe since World War II. Whole cities have been broken and blackened by Mr. Putin's war machine, tens of thousands of innocents killed. Every day it goes on without pity or remorse, captives tortured, women raped, schools and kindergartens deliberately targeted. Every day the Iranian-made drones thump into the cities, turning off the lights, cutting the water supply. Peace, of course Ukraine wants peace. The economy is in ribbons. Mr. Zelensky's government can barely pay its public servants. Of course, it would like a negotiation. There is only one problem, he writes. It is the same problem that has confronted Mr. Zelensky's every day since February 24th. There is nothing to negotiate. No would-be mediator on earth has been able to come up with any compromise that even begins to be plausible. What kind of deal can we possibly construct under the current circumstances? Boris Johnson continues, let us suppose that Western powers would try to persuade Ukraine to trade land for peace. Any such bargain would naturally be disgusting. It would be a moral reproach to humanity. But let's imagine that some kind of agreement could be struck whereby Mr. Putin keeps not only the pro-Russian parts of the Donbas, but also at least some of the territory he's captured in the south. The minute you think about it, you can see that the idea isn't merely repugnant, it is hopeless and has zero chance of working. Which bit should the Ukrainians give up? In perpetuity to the Russians? A couple of cities, the whole land bridge from Mariupol to Crimea? Even if the Ukrainians were to be persuaded to surrender the rights to some of their land, which they wouldn't, couldn't, and shouldn't be, there is no reason to believe that Mr. Putin would stick to the deal. He has already officially annexed four oblasts. He says that Kherson, Zaporizhzhia, Luhansk, and Donetsk are now legally part of Russia. As his batty 2021 essay made clear, Putin is possessed by a belief that Ukraine is part of a holy and indivisible union with Russia. He doesn't merely want the land bridge, he wants the whole thing. He has spent so long in his COVID bubble taking semi-mystic advice from bearded Orthodox priests, he genuinely believes he is fated to avenge the insults of history and reunify the empire of Peter the Great. Of course, Boris Johnson writes, Mr. Zelensky would like to negotiate. You can't negotiate with a murderous liar who will continue, whatever he may claim, to try to destroy your country. So let's get real. Let's recognize that there is only one possible set of circumstances in which a negotiation could take place, and that is when Mr. Putin has failed. There's only one way to end this war, and that is to help the Ukrainians expel the Russian invaders from every mile of the territory they have viciously annexed. And certainly everything taken since February 24th. And please, can we all stop the cringe-making nonsense about the risk of backing Putin into a corner or forcing him to lash out? We make him sound like Tony Montana at the end of Scarface, crazily waving a nuke and shouting, say hello to my little friend. Now, by the way, let me just say for the record, I'm impressed that Boris Johnson is making a Scarface reference in this op-ed. I am very impressed with that. I really, it's just amazing to have the former British Prime Minister make a Tony Montana reference. It's just very refreshing. That's all I'm going to say. If Mr. Putin were to use a weapon of mass destruction, he would be tending Russia's resignation from the club of civilized nations. He would earn the revulsion of the swing states in Asia, Latin America, and Africa that are currently cutting him so much slack. He would lose his Chinese patrons. He would terrify his own population, and he would plunge his country into economic isolation. It isn't going to happen. We should stop talking about it, he says. And this is what the former British Prime Minister concludes here. There's only one way forward, and that is for the West to continue to support the liberation of the Ukrainian people, perhaps the most transparently just and righteous cause in international affairs in living memory. The Ukrainians have shown what they can do with a mixture of inspired leadership and the heroism that comes from knowing you are fighting for your country. They have put the Russians to fight in Kharkiv and now in Kherson. Yes, eventual defeat will be embarrassing for Mr. Putin. And yes, he will have some explaining to do, but he controls the organs of propaganda. He has strong popular support. He can say perhaps that the Nazis have been purged from Ukraine or that Russian minorities have been protected. He put Nazis in air quotes, by the way. Let him come up with a story. It's not our job. Our job is to give the Ukrainians the help they need. Artillery, tanks, and planes to defend their homes and their families and to restore what they had, a free, sovereign, independent, and democratic Ukraine. The assistance of the West, above all, the United States, has been outstanding and invaluable. Our job is to continue to give that help until the Ukrainians have won, and decisively. And then, of course, there'll be time to negotiate a peaceful, orderly, and lasting relationship and friendship between Ukraine and Russia. Boris Johnson, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Now, clearly, and the news today of the missiles hitting Poland is going to cause people like Boris Johnson and others to say now is the time to do something before more people deliberately or accidentally get killed. In other words, they'll use this as the impetus to say that they've got to do something. The latest update on all this, by the way, is that it's becoming clear now that a lot of members of NATO are particularly outraged as power outages are happening in Poland now, as a matter of fact, because of the missile strikes as well. So that's where things are. I'm curious what you think. If you think the United States of America needs to do more here, I am not of the opinion that it does. But I'm starting to feel like I'm in the minority on this point. I just don't want World War III. I just, you know, call me crazy. I'm just not really up for World War III at the moment. And I know that if the United States does more, that's probably where we'll end up being. I don't think it's as easy as Boris Johnson lays out. If the United States gets engaged here in a land war with Russia, there's a lot of other geopolitical considerations to take into account. It doesn't mean I'm rooting for Russia. I'm not. I want Ukraine to win this thing. But I also don't think the United States of America can write just a blank check. And I also worry that Putin is just unpredictable. I don't subscribe to Boris Johnson's thinking that Vladimir Putin is particularly concerned about what the rest of the world thinks of him. He invaded a sovereign nation. He didn't really give a damn what the rest of the world thought about him. So if he dropped a big old bomb on top of Ukraine's head that was nuclear, I don't think he would think twice about it. I think he'd be fine with it, to be honest with you. I think he'd be more worried about retaliation, but I think that if you do something like that, you're probably not going to be, you know, looking to do more. So, and then the other question, of course, is since this is not being confirmed by the Pentagon, this is only being reported by the Polish media, is it even true? You know, you always have to worry about things like, I hate to use the term false flag, but you have to worry about the idea that something is not accurate. It happens in war all the time and then becomes the story. And then people latch on to that to obviously push the nations of the world into action. But then it turns out to not be true. The missiles, if they were missiles, if they were shrapnel, if they were intentional, accidental, I mean, all of these questions have to be answered here. But I can tell you just from a quick cursory glance of social media, I'm already seeing the calls from people saying, this is it. This is enough. Two people are dead. NATO needs to respond. So that is what's already happening. And it doesn't take much in the theater of these international conflicts. It doesn't take much for something to trigger what becomes a world war, clearly. And I think that the problem for the United States of America is we are already so far in. I mean, we've already come so far into this, much like Vietnam, which really worries me. Because I was told there'd be no troops on the ground. We have troops on the ground. They say they're in advisory capacity. But that can change by a simple order from a general or the commander in chief. We have military on the ground in Poland, Ukraine, excuse me. I was told we wouldn't, but we do. In an advisory capacity. But they're still soldiers. They're still American soldiers. And what happens if they are accidentally killed by shrapnels or accidental missiles or accidental gunfire or something else? What happens then is my question, too. This is the problem with getting involved in this conflict. And then you also have to think about what have we spent so far? Probably all in, when you count up the money, the munitions and everything, at least $100 billion, maybe more at this point, that we've already spent on Ukraine, which is mind-boggling when you think about that kind of a number. But it could be anywhere from $40 to $60 billion in cash. It could be another $40 billion in munitions. Maybe the number's higher. I mean, who knows? That's the other thing, too, is we don't really even know. We don't get a lot of transparency on this. We only hear news reports about this. But I just think that if the United States of America gets engaged here militarily, it's just not going to end well. I don't subscribe to Boris Johnson's theory that we just roll the tanks in and then Putin surrenders. And I also think that there's other international partners of Russia that would be more than happy to jump in and play if we go into Russia, which could trigger all kinds of other things from happening as well. So that's where things stand right now. And obviously, we're monitoring everything to give you the latest details and everything that's coming out. The other op-ed that I saw today on this regarding Ukraine. See, I have this here. I got a lot of stuff today. It's a very, very busy day. Oh, by the way, J.D. Vance has a piece, which is really good. Don't blame Trump for the midterm elections, the new senator-elect from Ohio. It's got a very, very good piece on that, which I'm going to share with you as well. I'll find it. I'll find the other piece I had for you. But just know this. Just know this. The drums of war will bang much louder now because of what happened here today in Poland, whether it was intentional or not, whether it was shrapnel or not. As long as two people are dead, and again, assuming that that is correct, and assuming that that is what the Polish military is reporting, assuming that that is correct, The drums of war will bang more loudly. No question about it. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you think the United States needs to go in, finish the job. Perhaps you take the position of Boris Johnson. If you do, make your case. I'd love to hear it. 855-839-1210. 10. I do want to tell you, though, that no matter what we're talking about, we always come back to the economy. We always come back to the war and energy. You know, a lot of what's going on with Russia has to do with the fact that idiots like Angela Merkel and others empowered Vladimir Putin, made him richer, made him more powerful. You know, Trump warned them. He told them that famous clip that I've played you when he said to them, why are you empowering Putin? You know, everybody accused Trump of being some guy who was in the tank for Putin. But Donald Trump told Europe, he said, stop buying his natural gas, buy our natural gas. All you're doing is propping him up. All you're doing is making him richer and more powerful. I remember that clip sitting there across from Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, and just letting her have it. And they all laughed at him. They all mocked him. And the so-called Russian stooge, Donald Trump, was the one trying to warn the world about making him even more powerful with Nord Stream 2 and everything else. Well, they didn't listen to him. And back here at home, we are idiots with our Green New Deal. And so what do? We don't step up and provide the world the energy it needs. We wind up waging this war on energy in our country, which has ramifications for Europe. And we're still importing Russian oil. I told you that. We have until December 15th, I think it is, we're going to take in Russian oil. We're still buying Russian oil as we speak right now. Why? Because we need it. Why? Because the Democrats waged a Green New Deal war on energy and they don't have drilling and everything else that's happening. My point is, you are going to be paying more this winter for energy. It's inevitable. And it could get even worse depending on what happens with this war in Ukraine. You got to make sure that your home is as insulated as possible so that you can do everything you can do to save your money and have a comfortable home without having to run that furnace all day long. And that's where USA Insulation comes in. Right now, you can get a $500 early bird discount to get your home ready for the winter by calling 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net. And if your house is drafty, if your house is old, you probably have terrible insulation or no insulation at all. People are often surprised to learn that more of your warm air leaks out of your walls than your windows and doors combined. So do what I did years ago and have USA Insulation come and inject their premium foam into your walls from the outside. You will feel so much better and get that $500 early bird discount right now. 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
More breaking news. Senator Rick Scott of Florida is going to challenge Mitch McConnell for the Republican leadership in the United States Senate. That story just came out a short time ago. He apparently is going to challenge McConnell. And so there's a battle there. Kevin McCarthy looks like he's locked up the speakership, and that's happening. And then, of course, tonight at 9 p.m., Donald Trump apparently may be announcing he's running for president of the United States again. So that's where we are right now. Now, interestingly enough, as all this is happening, we're already seeing the political divide among Republicans between Trump and DeSantis. J.D. Vance had a piece, and he wrote this, and he talked about how you should not blame Trump for what happened on Election Day. And his point in this piece was that he said, every consultant and personality I encountered claimed credit for their own faction. The victory was a testament to Mitch McConnell's Senate Leadership Fund, one person told him. Another argued and said that the Senate Leadership Fund had actually bungled the race, and the National Republican Senatorial Committee chaired by Rick Scott deserved the credit. He says, full disclosure, both Mitch McConnell's group and Rick Scott's group helped my race in Ohio, for which I'm grateful. And then the results poured in. It was clear the outcome was far more disappointing than hoped. And every person claiming victory on Tuesday morning knew exactly who to blame on Tuesday night. Donald J. Trump, he writes. Of course, no man is above criticism, but the quick turn from gobbling up credit to vomiting blame suggests there is very little analysis at work. So let's try some of that, he argues. And he says, let's start with what we don't know. Precinct level data is still outstanding in most states, and exit polls are notoriously finicky. Voters are still being counted out west. We're still ignorant about a lot. But any effort to blame Trump, or McConnell for that matter, ignores a major structural advantage for Democrats. Money. Money is how candidates fund the all-important advertising that reaches swing voters. And it's how candidates fund turnout operations. And in every marquee national race, Republicans got crushed financially. The reason, he argues, is something called Act Blue. Act Blue is the Democrats' national fundraising platform where 21 million individual donors shovel small donations into every marquee national race. He says, ActBlue is why my opponent ran nonstop ads about how much he agreed with Trump during the summer. It's why John Fetterman was able to raise $75 million for his election. Republican small dollar fundraising efforts are paltry by comparison, and Republican fundraising efforts suffer from high consulting and list building fees, where Republicans pay a lot to acquire small dollar donors. This is why, J.D. Vance argues, incumbents have such a massive advantage. Much of the small dollar fundraising my own campaign did went to fundraising and list building expenses. If and when I run for re-election, almost all of it will go directly to my campaign. Democrats don't have this problem. They raise more money from more donors with lower overhead. Outside groups try to close this gap, but it is a losing proposition. Under federal election law, campaigns pay way less for advertising than outside super PACs do. In some states, $10 million from an outside group is less efficient than $2 million spent by a campaign. So long as Republicans lose so badly in the small dollar fundraising game, Democrats will have a massive structural advantage. He also points out that because ActBlue diverts resources to competitive races, the structural advantage can be magnified. So Senator-elect J.D. Vance writes, let's look at how this played out specifically. At first blush, Ron DeSantis and Brian Kemp are similar figures. They both won close elections in 2018. And both cruised to re-election in 2022. They are both popular, effective governors from the South. But one won by over 20 and one by over 8. Still impressive. What explains this? Money. Look at the fundraising totals. Ron DeSantis outraised Charlie Crist 7-1. Kemp, the governor of Georgia, was actually outraised, albeit barely, by Stacey Abrams. Money, of course, is not dispositive, he writes. Kemp won convincingly, but it has a major effect. In both cases, incumbency provided a major advantage, in part because it's easier to raise money when you've already won. But incumbency is also powerful in and of itself. Just look to Iowa, where incumbent Governor Kim Reynolds cruised to re-election by a 20-point margin, while newcomer AG candidate Brenna Byrd won by less than 1 point against 28-year incumbent Democrat Tim Miller. And he brings up the Senate races. And in particular, he talks about Pennsylvania as well and how John Fetterperson way outspent Dr. Oz by millions and millions and millions of dollars. In the long run, he says, the way to solve this is to build a turnout machine, not gripe at the former president, but building a turnout machine without organized labor amid declining church attendance is no small thing. Our party has one major asset. To rally the voters, use President Donald Trump, he says. Now more than ever, our party needs President Trump's leadership to turn these voters out and suffers from his absence from the stage. The point is not that Trump is perfect. I personally would have preferred an endorsement of Lou Barletta over Doug Mastriano in the Pennsylvania governor's race, for example. But any effort to pin blame on Trump and not on money and turnout isn't just wrong. It distracts from the actual issues we need to solve as a party over the long term. Instead, one of the biggest changes I would like to see from Trump's political organization, whether he runs for president or not, is to use their incredible small dollar fundraising machine for Trump aligned candidates, which it appears he has been doing to assist Herschel Walker in the Senate runoff. Blaming Trump, he concludes, isn't just wrong on the facts. It is counterproductive. Any autopsy of Republican underperformance ought to focus on how to close the national money gap and how to turn out less engaged Republicans during midterm elections. These are the problems we have. And rather than blaming everyone else, it's time for party leaders to admit we have these problems and work to solve them. Now, that's J.D. Vance's opinion. And there's some of it I agree with and some of it I don't. Number one, I think we overstate Donald Trump's presence in all this way too much. I think that he's so defined by people that if he endorses a candidate, I think it's a moot point at this point. I don't think it matters. Like, you know, people are like, well, he shouldn't go to Georgia for Herschel Walker. Well, if he doesn't go to Georgia for Herschel Walker, J.D. Vance would argue then Herschel Walker might have a turnout problem. If he goes to Georgia for Herschel Walker, people argue then people are going to vote against Herschel Walker. But I think that he's so defined already. And I think an endorsement is just one vote. It's just doesn't matter all that much. I think people put too much into it. I think J.D. Vance misses one important point, though, about all this, which is for a lot of suburban women voters, if really the abortion topic was what drove them to the polls, if that was really the issue that drove them to the polls, well, you got to ask yourself the question, and that is this. This is a point that's been made before. All right, you lost in the short term, but do you win in the long run? Because Roe v. Wade was overturned. So you got that done. You can check that box, and now everybody can move on with their lives. Like, it was inevitable it was going to happen. But if in fact, what Politics PA reported today, that the reason why Josh Shapiro did as well as he did was suburban women voters who said the abortion issue drove them to the polls. All right. Well, is that still going to be the case in every election? Is winning by having the Supreme Court, which was Trump appointed, shoot down Roe v. Wade, in the long run, that decision's gone. But other people will turn around and go, nope, because now in every election, it's going to be an issue. In New Jersey, for example, the Democrats are putting a constitutional amendment on the ballot to codify abortion as law in New Jersey. I just heard about this a short time ago because they want to put Republicans into that political trap. But I think personally, the longer this goes on, the more that in blue states, it matters less and less. And in red states, it matters less and less, too. In other words, I think this was the election where it mattered because it was new in everybody's minds. If, in fact, the Dobbs decision and the subsequent question of abortion became what was a driving factor in this election, I think that as time goes on, it matters less because people see the policies in their state and the fear factoring goes away. The fear mongering goes away. Now, that doesn't mean that if a pro-life Republican is nominated in a blue state, that means that the issue won't come back. Of course it will, but it did before. What changed? You know, Chris Christie won New Jersey twice as a pro-life candidate. He won, and abortion was obviously something the Democrats were still threatening that could be taken away from them. Now, people would argue with me and say, well, yeah, but the difference is back then they had Roe v. Wade. Yeah, but I think by the time that happens, let's say it's 2025, and say Jack Chitarelli, I'm just throwing it out there because he was the last candidate, is nominated again to run for governor of New Jersey. I think by that time, people see the law in New Jersey is not changing. And I think they take a deep breath. I think that if this was such an issue in this election, it was going to be this election. And I think the power of it diminishes as people go on with their lives and realize it's not the end of the world because of the state in which they live. That's my sense of it. And I could be wrong on that point, but I also don't think that the Democrats are going to rush to codify Roe v. Wade into law anytime soon. You know why? Because I think they want this to be an issue. I think they want this to be an issue that they can continue to try to dangle out there to get people out. But still, you got to, if nothing else, if you're angry that the Dobbs decision may have caught Republican, may have hurt Republican candidates this time around, you still got Roe v. Wade overturned, which was a big win for the Constitution and a big win for federalism and a big win for the states. And eventually, people will see that the states will deal with this issue accordingly. And I think the panic goes away. Does that mean then that, like I said, you can't ever nominate a pro-life Republican? No, I don't think so, because I think that a pro-life Republican will articulate the position in a way that probably says something to the effect of, well, whatever the time is, 15 weeks, 20 weeks, there'll be exceptions. I mean, they'll battle that out on the state level, but they'll battle it out as policy without the fear-mongering of you're all going to become handmaids. Because that issue, that fear of you're all going to become handmaids and taken away and said that Democrats played up in this election, that, I think, loses its sting as time goes on. I really do. I think it loses its sting. And I think people will be focused on other issues. This was the election where it matters. I think the other point, too, that J.D. Vance misses is mail-in ballots. I think that the Democrat, we have to wake up to the fact that mail-in ballots are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. The Democrats control this like precision. And because they're able to literally hand somebody a ballot and turn to them and say, you fill it out, I'll bring it in for you. And this is happening across the country. They can guarantee a vote. Republicans right now are still playing the game of hoping people turn out on election day. Think about that for a moment. Now, I've said this, then I'll say it again, and I'm blue in the face. The time to sit around and hope that people turn out and leave it to chance to see how the weather does, their traffic on their way home, if the kids have a baseball game that night or whatever it is. The time to sit around and let those things be up to chance is over. When you've got the technology today to guarantee a vote, get it. Go get it. I mean, that's the purpose of mail-in balloting. That's why the Republicans originally backed it in many places. And then we saw it was abused. And then we decided that was a terrible thing that can be abused. But unfortunately, it's not going away. It's not going away. And would I love to have a system where everybody has to vote in person? You bet. You bet. Vote in person with paper ballots and get a receipt. I'd be fine with that. We could take a week to count. I'm okay with that too. But it's not going to happen. I'm a realist. I know that. So then own the mail-in ballot thing. And to that point, that's where the money comes back. Because the money for a get-out-the-vote operation to pay for that operation is something that Democrats are outspending Republicans on by about 5-1. And you think about this scumbag FTX guy who just bilked people out of billions of dollars, who was the second highest Democrat donor. He's not even the problem J.D. Vance is talking about in his piece. He's talking about the small dollar donors that give so much money to the Democrats, and the Republicans don't have that mechanism of getting just small chunks of money out of people. And that's a problem right there. But if you're going to have a mail-in ballot operation that actually targets the voters where they are, gets them the vote, and turns in that ballot, you got to make sure you got the money to pay for that operation, because that operation ain't free and that operation ain't cheap, obviously. 855-839-1210. But I think we're all overstating McConnell's effect, Trump's effect, all these things. These are local races. Politics is local. I think everybody's overstating this. But nevertheless, there's going to be a civil war in the Republican Party. Sometimes, like they say in The Godfather, like Clemenza said, sometimes it's good. Every 5 years, every 10 years, gets rid of the bad blood. And that's about to happen, too, as Rick Scott announces he's challenging McConnell for leadership in the Senate. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a big show. Give you the latest on this alleged missile strike in Poland. Was it a missile? Was it shrapnel? Are two people really dead? What are the NATO countries saying? What is the United States of America saying? We'll talk about that as well. And yes, New York Times with a story. They paused puberty, but at what price? Can you imagine what price that is? It's a big price. We'll talk about it. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.